The sun is shining. It's a beautiful day. We're outside recording a new season of LFC Talk at Hotel Tia. So if you hear any strange sounds or magpies or leaf blowers, that's just us being out and about on an epic lucky table. Isn't that right, Jamie Webster?
Yeah, that's right, yeah. We're on the table there. I was actually stood out yesterday where we done the business against Chelsea. So, yeah, it's nice to be back here. I think next time I come back for a match here, I'll be reserving this table.
You can definitely be at this table every match, because we are screening every match home and away these days, in these funny days. And David Fairclough, where did you see the match yesterday?
Yeah, I was at home yesterday with the family who were around for a little bit of a barbecue before the game, and it was a great win. Obviously, it's a big fixture to go to Chelsea, and it's a crucial place to get a win. So, yeah, really happy about how we've started the season so far.
We'll talk a lot about the Chelsea game. We'll talk about a little bit about the Leeds game as well, because that's been happening since we last met as well. And we will be talking ahead, looking at the Arsenal coming up. But before we do that, we have to talk a little bit about this summer. Jamie, you've released an album and it's flying.
Yeah, my album, We Get By, my debut album, came out on a month ago today, 21st of August. And yeah, it got to top 10 in the charts, number 6. Took over the Killers in the iTunes charts at number 1 for a period of time, which was an unbelievable feat for someone on an independent record label and stuff like that.
Just wow.
Yeah, I mean, the budgets on my album compared to the people I was competing against is, it's probably less than a tenth, do you know what I mean? But yeah, it was thankful to everyone who's bought it, everyone who's listened to it, everyone who's supported it along the way from the very start, going back to all the Liverpool gigs and everyone who sort of, first seen me singing there. It's unbelievable achievements. I think when I signed a record deal, I think we were talking top 40, top 50 would have been an achievement, really. Considering I had a path to cross over, getting out of, football songs into original music and stuff like that. And yeah, great summer. And, we also got to see Liverpool win the league title, didn't we? And while we maybe not as great a summer as we'd have expected or imagined, still a couple of nice things I can personally take from it. And that's what you've got to do in times like this, haven't you? You've just got to focus on the positives. And for me, the positives are Liverpool FC being champions of England for a whole year, no matter what happens this season. And my album is a top 10 album, and it's still getting listened to around the world now. And yeah, great.
And talking about winning the league on the trophy lifting night, just over the road, 200 metres from where we're right now, they were making everything ready for the trophy lift. And leading up to that on worldwide television, someone made me so proud. Tell us what happened.
Well, it's a bit of a long story, because the song This Place, it was actually the first song I wrote when I got back into songwriting about 2 to 3 years ago. So that was always going to be, I played it in a few Liverpool gigs. A lot of people liked it because of the nature of the song and what I'm singing about. And we planned to release it in March, because the Premier League got in touch about maybe me providing some music for a montage, and they were originally looking for an LFC song, and my management sort of cleverly pointed them to the direction of this song and said, it's about the city of Liverpool, it's about not forgetting where you come from, and we can tie in a lot. And thankfully Alex at the Premier League, he absolutely loved it, and he understood where it was coming from. And as everyone who's seen the video, the video footage is absolutely phenomenal, really. It's brilliant. It brings a tear to your eye sometimes, even now. And we were supposed to do that for March, obviously, because we were due to win the league around that time in March, and it was supposed to be for the trophy lift. And because of what happened, we had to hold back on the whole thing, release some new songs in the meantime, and let it come to that time. And I almost forgot about it, because it was, so we shot the video a couple of weeks before it aired. And the funny story is, though, the Premier League had only sort of released this to RTE and beIN Sport and NBC, some of the worldwide, not no one in the country had actually took it. And then the day leading up to it, I got a text saying BBC and ITV have took it and stuff like that. So it was like, oh, fantastic. And then I was actually, the night that we were supposed to win it, I was working a match for Standard Chartered, doing like a Gogglebox live viewing party sort of thing. And after the game, we do a quick interview, and I literally, all the lads were in the halfway house. So I just literally, I hadn't been on my phone because I was on live sort of streaming. Put my phone in my pocket. Literally, as soon as he said I could go, I jumped in my car and legged it from the Malmaison right down to the County Road to the halfway house. Walked in to the pub and I come on the telly, and I didn't know it was going on Sky. And I made a joke, said, who's that idiot on the telly, when I walked in the pub to try and smooth things over, because all the lads were ready to give me a load of grief every time that they see me on the telly. But it was an amazing feat, you know, because I looked at a couple of hours later, and Alex had texted me about 8:30 and said that Sky had took it and we got to run it after the game, but I hadn't seen the message. So, like, I was really shocked watching it. My dad phoned me. You could tell he was nearly crying. I don't think him and my mum expected it. I think they might have been here watching it. You know, everyone, my phone went mad. The single just absolutely rocketed. It even picked up massive number of album sales. It was just an unbelievable sort of surprise, really. And yeah, still, you know, when people think of that trophy lift, you know, it's nice that one of my own original songs will be in people's memories, you know.
Great timing.
Yeah, it was. Couldn't have sounded it better, really, to be honest. It's a bit of luck.
David, did you tear up when that came on? I did.
Yeah, most definitely. Obviously, anyway, winning the league, but then to see all the images of the city and what it means to the local Liverpool supporters, it kind of added a little bit of something extra special.
Yeah, I liked all the old footage of the city from years gone by and stuff that they blended. It was brilliant, wasn't it?
We started off playing against Leeds when we finally got back. Such an old, classical team back in the ring.
Well, it is a classic fixture from days gone by, and plenty of reasons to remember. Great games against Leeds down the years. We've said, and it will be continued to be said, it loses something when there's no fans in at Anfield. It would have been a fantastic event, I think, Leeds, for them, first game back in the Premier League after such a long break. And for us being against, you know, a team that traditionally we've enjoyed some really great moments with. So whilst it was, it looked a big fixture, I was a little bit surprised. I thought, you know, I thought we were a little bit sleepy in allowing them to cause as many problems as they did. I thought it wasn't a bad fixture to open up the campaign with against a newly promoted team. Not having known that much about Leeds, I'll be honest. I thought, well, okay, they've got this reputation for an attractive style under Bielsa, but I didn't think they would cause as many problems as they did. As it was, I mean, it's now going to be remembered as maybe one of the best first day games of the Premier League era, and fortuitous in some ways, perhaps that we ended up winning, but it made for an exciting day, and delighted obviously to get us off and running in the best possible way with those 3 points.
It was on fire, 4-3. Salah looked sharp, didn't he? It looked like he was just having the best day getting back into the game.
Yeah, I mean, he looked like the most Salah that we've seen in that first season, really, that day, didn't he? He just looked like he looked hungry, he looked on it, he looked happy, which is, I think he looked happy, which is the most important thing, you know, when you're playing football. I think he's playing with a smile on his face. I think that's what you'd all like to see. That Salah, that's the Salah that we all fell in love with. Like I say, that second goal was an absolute rocket, wasn't it? You know, he couldn't have put it anywhere else. That was the only place he could have put it, to put it in the back of the net from that angle. And you know, David will tell you, it's not being a forward player, it's not easy to do. Not easy to do that. Credit to Leeds. You know, I think not many teams will come to Anfield and give us a game like that this season. I mean, they were playing effectively four up front at times, you know, and that's the style that they played. They won 4-3 this weekend. They're an attacking team. We're going to see a lot of, it's going to be all their games, I think, are going to be quite exciting. I think they'll take a few hidings along the way, but I think that they'll give a few teams a hiding as well. I think they'll have a good season. I think that they'll, I'd put my money on Leeds to stay up out of the three.
It has been said, I think, in the reaction to the game, that maybe they did Liverpool a favour because we did look sleepy, one or two apart. I mean, I agree. Salah did look great, looked really sharp, and that type of strike that he had for his second. I mean, that is Mo Salah at his best when he doesn't really have time to think. He does things instinctively. Sometimes, for me, I think when he has time, he sometimes starts to be a little bit too clever, and that's his undoing. But I thought going forward, we did look a good side. The back really did need a shake up after that, and we saw that with Jürgen's reaction to the following game. So
because you don't see Van Dijk doing mistakes like that very often.
No, and you know, Trent Alexander-Arnold will have to get used to the fact that I think he'll come under a little bit of pressure as well. To some teams, they'll have taken that as a bit of an idea, if they didn't already have it, that sometimes he can be exposed and vulnerable. And Gomez looked off the pace as well. I know Jürgen said that all four of them in the week leading up to the game had been away, obviously, on international duty, so that perhaps didn't do them any favours. But certainly, you know, it probably was the alarm call that we could have done with, and it's probably it was a good day for it to happen at Anfield. But I think on another day as well, to be honest, I wonder whether Leeds might have been able to play the way that they did. And people will say this about plenty of fixtures, I think. While there's no crowds in the stadiums, the teams play in a slightly different way, and they can play with a little bit less fear. I think, you know, we saw that at the back end of last season, one or two fixtures that on another day might have been a little bit easier. The draw against Burnley, particularly, I'm sure Liverpool would have won had the place been full, and that would have been the case with Leeds, I think, last week.
I was stood with my mate Kearnsy yesterday, knows your Tom quite well. Stood there together and we were talking, and he said, you know, when the second goal went in, he slammed the table and he said, you know what, I am absolutely sick to my stomach now. And I said, why? He said, because we would have had that, we would have been like our away end at Stamford Bridge. I've had so many good days out at Stamford Bridge where we've been the crowd. They have, you know, when we take the lead at Stamford Bridge, it's always an amazing away end because we're right on top of each other, the two tiers. And my mate said, he was like, we should be there now having a massive party, do you know what I mean? Going absolutely nuts, singing the Thiago song over and over again. And just like, you know, just that's what you miss. Don't get me wrong, it's nice to be able to still watch it with your friends. Well, up until today we can we actually, you know what I mean? You can't mix households. But, or tomorrow, whenever it comes into place. But, you know, that's the sore point there. I think... Stamford Bridge will be a harder place to go because of the football. When like the likes of Thiago Silva come into the team, I think they look shaky at the back. There's a new goalie coming in, I think.
Oh, he probably didn't have the best night's sleep last night.
No, we played Chelsea at a good time. I think, you know, there's still new players coming into, a lot of new players trying to come into the team. They're going to be a better side in 3-4 months' time. So the Bridge will be an harder place to go in that aspect. But I think when they go, maybe they go 2-0 up or something, they might get a bit ahead of themselves. But generally speaking, I think a lot of times Liverpool fans have been there and outsung them and out-partied them and, you know, dragged that second goal out of the team more so than the home fans.
I think most... most away grounds experience their best days when Liverpool fans are there. There's no question about that. And as Jamie said, rightly so, we love to, you know, kind of put a little bit of a rocket up Chelsea, particularly down there, because they like to gloat. And, you know, it's a stadium's dressed up the way it's manufactured. It's just not natural, and So, you know, for the lads, I can appreciate that. That would have been a bit of a miss to have not been there yesterday.
Jamie mentioned Thiago. He got the chance to put on that red shirt this weekend. What did you think?
Yeah, I was impressed. I thought watching the first half, particularly, I thought we were in need of a little bit of something. There were a couple of performances not quite sort of up to the mark, particularly against a team like Chelsea, who are going to sort of, you know, be as defensive as they were. They were well set up. We needed a little bit of something different. It kind of really presented itself for Thiago. Disappointing maybe that Henderson come out because of an injury, but once he came in, Thiago, you saw that dimension that he's going to offer Liverpool, that, you know, the eye to pick out a pass going forward. We won't probably play as much sort of side to side as we can be a little bit guilty of on occasions, and I think the forward players will really welcome somebody with his eye and his sort of ability to put a really clever pass through. There were one or two occasions when he picked out Salah on the move, and I think he's going to add something special to the team.
How excited were you about that signing?
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, when everyone was sort of kicking off, well, not everyone, certain sort of fractions of fans were kicking off about not signing anybody, and well, I did. We all know the value of a new sign, especially someone like him, because it gives everyone a sort of kick up the backside. It brings a lot more things to life, you know. But we have a lot of players and a lot of good players, and I was thinking it's not the end of the world if we don't sign him. But now that he's come here, I mean, the thing they put into perspective for me, I don't think Liverpool ever taken an already world class player from a world-class team before. I can't remember when we've done it. You could argue Torres, but Torres wasn't a proven world-class player. He had a lot of hype about him. He hadn't played in the Champions League. He wasn't a renowned, phenomenal goal scorer, and he had his best years at Liverpool. So, same with Luis Suarez, really. He was this unbelievable talent, but he was raw around the edges, and no one really wanted to take a chance on him, and we did, and he went on to be one of the best players in the world at us, and then at Barcelona. But I think the fact that we now are taking the big players off the big teams, and that big Bayern Munich would have happily kept him. They'd paid him more money to stay. He wanted to come and play for Liverpool, and that to me is what's exciting about the whole thing. Obviously, he put the ball, came on the pitch yesterday. I like the penalty. We get the negatives out the way first. Penalty got sort of caught in the wrong sort of position there. Was it maybe soft? Yeah, but when you're moving at that pace, a little knock can send you down. It can do. Do you know what I mean? So I can see why it was given. But I wouldn't hold that against him. I think we on the ball, I'd even made some great interceptions, deeper anyway. But on the ball, it's just like David said, for forward thinking. You can see, like, when the ball comes to him, he knows where everybody is, and his first touch is with his second touch in mind all the time. It's not, oh, let me control the ball and see what's happening. It's always, he knows what's happening. He's a clever, clever footballer. He's 29. He's got an unbelievable pedigree. He's a winner, isn't he? Do you know what I mean? He's a winner. Look at his trophies he's got. And I think the interesting point there was when David said that Henderson came off. I think in the past, when Henderson's not been in the team, we haven't looked a great, you know, team, particularly in midfield. We looked like he was the drive. You know, he was the... When he's not in the team, even in that spell back in the last season, we didn't look the same team when he wasn't there. And I think him coming off last season would have been a confidence booster for Chelsea. But the fact that he's come on and we've still looked like, obviously they were a man down, and it's always going to be tough for them. But I still think that we'd have found it a lot harder, Henderson going off, and say, Keita was already on the pitch, Milner or Oxlade-Chamberlain. I think we'd have still found a lot harder without Henderson's drive and carry. And I think him coming on, him just being such a good player, I think it just helps in general for when Henderson can't be there. We've now got Fabinho to be in midfield, who, by the way, was unbelievable at centre-half, but Fabinho in midfield. And then if Henderson's not in the team, you still have the luxury of a Thiago and a Wijnaldum, Keita, Oxlade-Chamberlain, Milner, depending on the game. And when Henderson is in the team, we've got the luxury of all those players to choose from, and I think, if anything, I don't know if it's more of a luxury or a headache for Jürgen, do you know what I mean? But
I think it's a great addition to the squad, no two ways about it, and he is a genuine world-class player. I was a little bit disappointed, I'll be honest. I forgave Jürgen last summer, and I argued with a number of people. It didn't really matter that we didn't sign anybody of note, but I think this year we needed a lift, a real boost, and the way that they've acted in terms of getting Jota, I mean, that came out of nowhere. But the Thiago thing was rumbling on a little bit, and I did think that Liverpool did need an injection of something a little bit special, and the fact that we've got Thiago, I think, is a little bit of a sort of a sort of kicking the guts to the others, to the opposition, because I think the teams that were looking at Liverpool and thinking, you know what, we might be able to have a little bit of a go. I think the fact that Liverpool have showed intent, added Thiago and Jota this week, I think other teams now will look at them and think, you know, that's going to work against them all, because Liverpool look stronger and much, much healthier. I think on the basis of just signing two, I think people were saying, are we going to buy? We're not going to buy. Thiago thing did drag on a little bit too long, but it's fantastic now that it's completed, and he looks like he's going to be really, really special.
And Jamie, both Jota and Thiago had a great introduction by the club. Tell us about how they were introduced. Yeah, so give us a demonstration, please.
Yeah, so for everyone who didn't see it, I think most people will have seen it, but when Thiago was announced, it was sort of come from the back of the dressing room right up to the camera and says, "How are we?" And that was like, you know, for Scousers, that was bigger than him scoring a goal yesterday. That, I think, you know what I mean? And then likewise with Jota, done the same thing, but instead of "How are we?" he said, "What's happening?" Which is, for people who've been in Liverpool and live in Liverpool, who've visited, do you know what I mean? That is very much the Scouts lingo of greeting someone. And all the lads at the media team absolutely nailed it with that. And I think the only thing better could have been if they'd have had the same pair of trainees that I've got on, because that's also a very, very Scouts team to have these sort of 110s, as they're known. Mm-hmm. But unbelievable. Like David said, I think now with these two new signings, it's just, who would you pick for the bench? Do you know? Like obviously, for most people, I think Thiago's in a starting lineup. Jota's still a young player. He's very, you know, proved himself at Wolves last year. He scored a great goal at Anfield, gave the crowd a little bit of one of them, didn't he? And then he got VAR'd out and he got a bit of stick off the crowd. So he knows what sort of, you know, crowd he's stepping into when he eventually does get to play with them. But, you know, he's obviously going to be on the bench. Minamino's probably going to be on the bench.
To win the Premier League these days, I think you do have to have that squad, and you have to have it really in depth. And Liverpool have moved in the right direction. We've always felt that Jurgen only buys players when he's really sure that of the quality that they're going to bring and how we can use them. And I think the fact that these two have come when they have, I think, can only reinforce the belief that Liverpool are moving very much on the right lines. You know, one thing I heard about yesterday with Thiago, I was a little bit surprised. I didn't quite know the pedigree that he had, but with his mum and dad being fantastic athletes themselves, and one thing that he's certainly got the heritage, and his brother's Rafinha, I think, isn't he? So his dad's a World Cup winner, his mum's an Olympian. I mean, any regular family, you know. So we've got a superstar on our hands.
What about Jota, though? What's his strength? What can he give us?
I think the one thing Jota needs to probably improve on is consistency. From what I gather, I think we can all pick out moments when, you know, you've seen snippets of Wolves games from last season where maybe, you know, he's fantastic, but does he do it sort of week after week? So the thing with Jota is he's an emerging player. I think he's 23. As ability, he'll definitely come on playing with better ability, with all due respect to Wolves, who are a good side. But I think Jota can only improve with the the nurturing of Jurgen Klopp, plus being around so many stars. So he'll bring another dimension as well. Like Thiago brings us something different, Jota's got that little excitement that we need. I think at times when last year, probably more to the end than anything else, when, you know, there was no Salah or Mane for Firmino, I think, you know, the replacements weren't as strong as probably a team of Liverpool, you know, would need to be competing on the really highest of levels. So I think it just sends out all good signs. I think that might be the end of our spend, and I still wouldn't be surprised if Liverpool had one more just before the window closes.
I mean, there's rumours of a centre-back, isn't there? Rumours are never... Well, now, besides the Thiago thing, Liverpool have seemed to have nailed the business. Since the mistake he made with Van Dijk, we really just do go and get our business done quietly. So I think with the rumours of this lad from Germany circulating. I wouldn't be surprised if we just went and signed a centre half out of nowhere, someone completely different. That's something that Liverpool just tend to do, like the Jota thing. But I wouldn't be. I mean, the way Fabinho played, I mean, when Mata. Don't be wrong, I much prefer him where he plays in that holding role, get to allow Henderson and Thiago to roam more freely. But, you know, when the going gets tough, you know, they had some quality players up top yesterday in terms of Werner, Mason Mount, and he brought Tammy Abraham on, who scored a lot of goals, regardless of what people say about him. And Fabinho stood tall. I think the first few seconds, actually, Werner got the better of him. Really early on, he skinned him. And I was a bit, whoa, you know, like it's that. And then after that, it never happened again. You know, it was a great performance from him. But I don't know, I agree with David. I wouldn't be upset if we didn't sign anyone else. I think the two deals in Jota and Thiago.
We signed Tsimikas as well, which will be an interesting.
Yeah, well, we've seen that Nico Williams can't really. He's a lot more comfortable at right back than he is at left back. Then Klopp threw him in a couple of times, and just you do need that for Robbo. You see how much he, you know, even if he's not having a great game in terms of what he's producing, his effort is never less than 110%, and he covers a lot of ground, and, you know, over the course of a season to put so many games on him and that demand, it's gonna need to have a blow. And I think to have a young lad, natural left sided, like it's sound. I think we've done business where we've needed to do, and I think when Gomez and Matip are fit, I think they are both really good centre halves. So once they've had a decent run of games, and if they can stay fit, I think all right, maybe in the odd game if Fabinho has to cover at centre back, it's not a bad, as we've seen yesterday, it's not a bad sort of fourth choice, if you like.
I think the great thing about Fabinho is that he is so versatile. I mean, he looks a great defensive midfield player, but equally, you know, I've seen him play adequate at fullback. I've seen him play at centre back. It was something I was talking with friends a few days ago. I could see him being selected at the weekend at centre back, because with Thiago now going to come in, I think. Fabinho has to be that player, maybe that sort of fulfills one or two other options. And no surprise, I see him do well there. Actually, I think he's a really cultured footballer. Always round. He can tackle. He can challenge. Comfortable on the ball. I mean, the little joke running around after the weekend. You know, United go and spend 70 odd million pounds looking for a. Or £80 million looking for a centre half, and we just move a midfield player back, and he looks as if he's been there forever.
And I love his nickname too, though, the one he's got from the team, Dyson. Just like he's like a vacuum cleaner, just clearing all the balls.
He's clever, and you know, when you're up against somebody like Werner, who is, you know, supposed to be speedy. I mean, people do maybe expect to see the speed, you know, the faster player come out on top. But if you've got a clever brain that sort of moves quicker than than the other's feet, you don't have to be the first yard or two is in your head anyway. So he looked the part yesterday, Fabinho.
And also, we have to talk about our front three, because yesterday the first goal against Chelsea, it was such a team effort, you know, when Salah and Firmino's playing together and then passing on to Mane to score. It's just them at their best, isn't it, when they just click and they just read each other and they move so fast, they're unstoppable in attacks like that.
Yeah, I mean, that is a feature of Liverpool's play, the link-up and the great sort of triangles that we're able to create, and the goal came about in that way. Football is so based these days around breaking the so-called lines and one thing and another. Liverpool, that's what they probably do best. That front three, when they combine and they do it nice and sharp, they can work their, you know, they can work their space, work their opportunities. And we're two games in, and so we shouldn't get too excited about, you know, well, nobody should get excited about where they are at the moment, but there are good signs from our point of view. But certainly the players will not really be on top of their form at best, maybe till six games in. So we're seeing some really good things at the moment. They're only sort of augurs well for what we've got ahead.
Sorry for the sound, by the way. It's just our neighbours cleaning their outdoor space.
Au naturel, as they say, innit? But yesterday, the first goal, classic Liverpool sort of front three move, you know, Firmino finding space on, you know, once he would sell a little chip. Mane said at the end of the game he knows what Bobby's going to do in that circumstance. He says he knows that Firmino's more of a player who likes to, you know, stand the ball up, chip it, rather than drill it across the box. So he said he knew he needed to get in front of the fullback to end him. It was, he literally stole it on him in a split second. I think the fullback was caught. He noticed he was ball watching for the split and give Mane the yard to get him in front of him. But there was another moment in the second half yesterday which really, really impressed me. It was an attack, and I think if it followed through with the goal at the end of it, it would have been a really, really well talked about goal. And started off with Robertson sort of beating Jorginho, but he sat him down on his backside, and everyone went nuts in here when that happened. And there was some great football. You know, Thiago was involved down the left hand side. I think it was Wijnaldum who ended up on the end of it, and it was just a little bit behind him, the final ball, and it would have been a great goal. They're great sides to see this early, because last year we were, you know, talking October even, we were 8 points clear, and we were saying to each other that, well, I was saying to mate, we're not even playing well here. We're not playing like we know we can. And, you know, I can't wait till we do. And then lo and behold, we did, and we ended up 20 odd points clear a couple of months, you know, in the space of a couple of months. But that's going to be the key, I think. When yesterday was a good performance, Leeds wasn't so great, but it wasn't, like David said, it wasn't the best Liverpool performance that we're going to see this season. We, you know, you'd like to think there's a lot more to come from us, and that's going to be the key. I think we've got a couple of tough fixtures in the next few weeks. You know, being, you know, Arsenal, then Villa away, Everton away. You know, they're not. No game's an easy game now, I don't think. But I think in particular our start hasn't been too easy. So I think if we can keep winning, and not particularly be at our best, just get the results that we need, I think by the time these players start to gel again and understand each other and build those relationships, I think if we're still in a good place, you know, in terms of points, I think that will give us the confidence then to go and say, right, well, we can go and do the same thing again this year. Let's go on and, you know, be unbeaten. Let's do it. It's going to be tougher, but if we start, you know, if we get through these first five games, I think it's on again.
But talking about confidence, though, because there's one man we haven't mentioned who actually saved that penalty away against Chelsea. And to do that, you know, in your first away game, what sort of confidence boost will that give Alisson? I don't think he probably needs too much confidence. He's a pretty confident lad, isn't he? But still, doesn't that bring something to the plate as well?
Yeah, and I think he's a goalkeeper who obviously prides himself on clean sheets, and sometimes feel as if he's embarrassed, or it's an affront to him that when we concede a goal. So the goals that he gave away against, or the goals that we gave away against Leeds. I mean, there was a little bit of criticism of Alisson from quarters last week. I think actually questioning whether or not he really is the real deal. I think now he'll be wanting to show that he is actually the, you know, what we think he is. He is world class, no doubt about that. And I think for him, he will have taken that as a huge boost to keep a clean sheet after the events of last week. So we're happy that we've got such a goalkeeper with presence behind the back line. There were signs yesterday that it's perhaps the togetherness, the bond that exists between the centre backs and the goalkeeper, we're back to something that we saw, you know, for the most part last year.
So eventually Arsenal is coming to see us at Anfield on Monday. They've won both their first matches as well. What are your thoughts on that match? Is that going to be an easy peasy one, or will we have to fight?
That's a dangerous game, Arsenal. I think in the past, you know, I have to mention it again, Arsenal seem to crumble in front of an Anfield crowd. So I think it might be a little bit easier for Arsenal coming to an empty Anfield. You know the style of Arsenal already. You're seeing this with Arteta, very much a counter-attacking team, trying to sort of make it a little bit difficult for you. Similar to how probably Chelsea approached the game yesterday. I think actually Chelsea and Arsenal are very similar sort of obstacles for us. I think we could probably approach it in a similar fashion. For me, I think you know, I think Arsenal are vulnerable at the back, as Chelsea were. But I think they'll be very, very disciplined, and they'll be hoping to sort of, you know, create those opportunities for Aubameyang to catch us on the break, and sort of then, you know, the other then players come in, be it Lacazette or Nketiah or whoever. I think we just got to be on our guard. We saw for the, you know, for the most part, how they're going to play games at Wembley in the Community Shield, and it'll be a tricky one, but it's one that I think Liverpool are capable of winning.
Yeah, I think you got to look at this second, you know, the Community Shield game. I think we were very much with a weakened team, still a better team on the day. You know, in the 90 minutes, penalties or ice can go either way. But yeah, I think we've got enough, especially not being. No, it's not a home pitch for either of us, but I think being in home, you know, natural surroundings at Anfield for the players, I think it'll be more comfortable for our players. Obviously, the crowd not being there again will benefit Arsenal, but I just think like David said, I think if we approach the game like we should, I think if Arsenal are going to sit back and let us play, and I think it's only a matter of time that. I think if we get the early goal, I think or the first goal, I think that's key. I think if Arsenal come out and get a goal, it will be a very, very difficult game for us then, because we're going to have to overcompensate, and then they can come out a bit more on the break. But I think if we play our game now, we were renowned for being all guns blazing first 20 minutes, try and score 3 or 4, and then sometimes if that didn't work, we'd sort of find ourselves falling short towards the latter stages of the game. So I think now, the last couple of year and a half, our approach has been different. It's sort of a progressive build-up towards, you know, putting all that pressure, wear them down mentally and physically, and then, you know, hit them where it hurts when you get your opportunities. And that's got to be the game plan in all the big games. You know, just patience is a virtue. I think we've got Thiago, I'd fancy him to start. You know, I think... see him on the ball, give the ball to him, see what he can do. You know, I think if they're going to sit off and let us play, I think he's a great player to have now. It seems they're going to do that, because he does seem to be that player who, if you give him time and space, you know, he can make things happen out of nothing.
I think the one thing, the feature about Liverpool, I think in possession they do wear teams down well, and teams ultimately sort of lose their discipline. If Liverpool continue to do what they do well, then they'll get the opportunities, and then at that point you have to make sure that, you know, you make them count. But always be alert to the pace of Aubameyang and the likes of Lacazette. Didn't see them against West Ham, with the exception of the goals, but seemed to hear that they were a little bit disappointing. I don't think Arsenal are going to be that scintillating a team. I think they're just going to be difficult to beat, and I think that's improvement from Arsenal's point of view, because they've often been in the last year or two an easy team to beat. So we'll have our, you know, issues with them, I'm sure, but I think with the confidence that we have. Ultimately, shouldn't be a problem.
They've only let in one goal in the first two matches and scored 5, so they're definitely doing something right so far.
Yeah, I mean, there is that. Yeah, they've started very well, but, you know, Everton fans will tell you the same thing, to be honest with you. I think David's right. I think they are a good team. I think they've got devastating play. They've got players who can devastate you on the counter attack. They've got a lot of them as well, because there's other. We didn't even mention the likes of Saka there as well. And you've got the young lad Martinelli, who scored a few goals. You know, they've got a good roster of young, you know, attacking players. But at the back, despite that one goal that they've conceded, There's not many players there who I look at and think he's a reliable defender. Do you know what I mean? Even in the midfield, I don't think they've got too many who are really great defensively. And I think when they come up against some decent teams, like suppose the likes of City, even the likes of Chelsea, I think, you know, you'll see their true colours defensively then. And even Leeds, the likes of Leeds, you know, teams who have a go at you, you know, and don't give you that much respect. So yeah, I think Liverpool. I think we look a better side. I think we will be a better side this season than we are last season. I think other teams will be better, but I think at Anfield, I know it's the crowd, aren't they? But I still think at Anfield, we've got more than enough to win the game. So if you're going to sort of draw me into my prediction now, yes. I'll go for a 2-0 Liverpool win.
Yeah, I'd be well happy with that, 2-0. You know, you could even go as far as three, I think, maybe against someone like Arsenal, being at home. Alert to the away goal. You know, they are dangerous, I think, on the break. I'd love to see another clean sheet. I think if we get in the habit of keeping clean sheets, I think that will sort of add to the intimidatory sort of style that we, you know, the people sort of look at us.
David, you've tried the bistro. We've opened a bistro, guys, only 2 weeks ago to make something happen here. Because obviously it's hard without football with fans for us being a football hotel. How did you find the bistro?
Yeah, very good. Another good reason to visit Hotel Tier. I think it's been challenging for everybody at the hotel because of, obviously we haven't had a packed Anfield, but the fact that the Hotel Tier is a good place to visit any time. The bistro is another added attraction. And we had a very pleasant evening, didn't we? And bumped into one or two ex-Liverpool players who were in here. So you're always sure of perhaps finding a surprise when you pop into the hotel.
You had the mussels. What did you try, Jamie?
I actually wanted the mussels, but Taggy had ordered the last batch that day. But I brought my mum here for something to eat. I think it was last Sunday. And we had the prawns to start, gambas, pilpil.
Oh, they're nice.
Oh, they're fantastic. And then we both had the steak, me and my mum, and it was really nice. Value for money is unbelievable. Great service and a lovely place to eat. So, anyone who's considering getting down there, you know, I'd definitely try it. I'll definitely be going back on numerous occasions. Neil does a great job in the kitchen. And so get yourselves down there for some good food. You never know, you might get some decent entertainment as well if you come on the right day.
Exactly, and you can also catch vitamin D like we have for this large hour of a podcast. The sun's been beaming at us. It's such a beautiful day in Liverpool. May it long continue. David Fairclough and Jamie Webster, thank you so much for this morning's LFC Talk at Hotel Tia. Take care, guys.